don't get out into the field, if we don't harvest the crop, it will be lost, eternally lost. You say, well, that's what we pay the preacher to do. No, it's not. That's your job. That's all of our jobs. You see, we are all harvesters. It's our job to share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone that you meet. Some of you may be saying, well, I wish I knew how to fill this building up again. I remember the days that it was overflowing and multiple services and all those things. I wish that could happen again. It can. Let me tell you how. You bringing one. You sharing your faith. You being positive about what God is doing here. You are the key. Just coming and setting on Sunday morning, that's not what God's talking about. He's talking about you getting into the field, not into the pew. And once we see the harvest through the eyes of God, we will have the harvest. But we're the laborers. It's up to us to go get it. Just before I left as your pastor, we were celebrating our 50th anniversary as a church. And one of the sweetest ladies I ever met, and one of the most bossy women besides my wife I ever met, was my secretary, Mary Sharp. I kept dropping hints for a couple of years to Mary. I said, you know, Mary, we've got our 50th anniversary coming up as a church. We need to write a history of the church. We had one. We need to update it, include all the things that God's done in the last 15 or 20 years. I said, do you know anybody that could do that? And she goes, no, I don't know anybody. After a couple of years, she finally caught on, and she said to me, she said, Brother Jim, are you asking me to write the history of the church? I said, I thought you would never catch on. And she did. Ryan, I don't know if you still have a copy of this, but I want to read to you the last page she wrote, celebrating our 50th anniversary as a church. When I read this, I broke down and I said, yes, God, that's the whole point right there. Here's what Mary wrote. She said, one of Village's Book of Life testimonies came from Mike Courtney, the son of charter members Jay and Doris Courtney. His family life at Village is what this volume has attempted to explore. It says better than anyone else when he writes, and this is a quote from Mike Courtney. When I was 3 years old, my parents started receiving visits from members of a mission of Trinity Baptist Church that was soon to be called Village Baptist Church. With this encouragement, my parents started to attend worship. It was held at the old Wiley Post Airport hangar. This started a lifelong change of events in my parents' lives. At the age of 6, going on 7, it would change my life forever too. This is when I asked Jesus to come into my life as Lord and Savior. The very room I prayed to receive Christ into my heart was the pastor's study and is currently the robe area for the choir at the back of the chapel. But as for me, it will always be the place of my rebirth. Later as an adult, I would return to this special place and take an invisible stake, an invisible hammer, and drive the stake into the floor in this room with my make-believe hammer. This was so that if I ever had doubts about my salvation, I could take Satan there and show him the stake that I drove into the floor and remember the time in my life that I surrendered myself to the Lord. We all need people to encourage us to come to church, to teach, to preach the Bible to us, to share their faith with us. It is now our time to encourage, share our faith, and to bring others into a forgiving relationship with the Lord at this place called Village Baptist Church. That's our job. Let's pray. Father, as we've come to this place, I pray, Father, that you would guard our eyes, that we would not look down, we'd not look around, we'd not look back, we'd not close our eyes, but rather we would focus our eyes upon you. Father, allow our gaze to be true. Allow us to be in our fields, reaping the crop before it's too late. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Ted. My name is Rock Bottomley, and I have the great privilege, actually, of becoming a friend and mentor to your pastor. I don't know him as Dr. Redwine or the Pastor Redwine. I just know him as Ryan. And I have had the opportunity to get up close and personal. And so it is a treat to be here with you, and of course, Ryan with you and with Stacy for this time. Here's what I want to do. I want to read a passage of scripture that it describes what we're doing this morning and the goodness of it. And then I want to say three things from my heart to yours about what's going on here. The passage of scripture, of course, comes from Hebrews chapter 13. It talks about how a body can give life to its leaders and the way it's supposed to do that. And so Hebrews chapter 13, and I'm going to read verse 17, and this is what it says. It says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no benefit to you." I want to say three things to you. First of all, I am really proud of you guys as a body, because what this describes is what you're doing this morning. We're actually doing it. That's what this passage talks about. It talks about, as a body, having confidence in your leaders, it says, and submitting to their authority. And what that's talking about is getting behind them, affirming and encouraging and saying, "We're glad you're here. And we have a sense that God has put you here. And really, we want you to lead, and we want you to have courage and have faith and give us direction." And that's what you're doing this morning. You're taking Ryan and Stacy and saying, "We love you. We have a sense God has given you to us, and we want you here." And so you're doing this verse. You're doing what the Spirit wrote in the Scripture. And so I just want to say, as an outsider coming in, looking in, saying, you're a wonderful God. You're doing a wonderful thing. God is pleased. The Spirit is pleased. Jesus is smiling. This is a wonderful day. So I'm proud of you guys. I mean, this is really a wonderful thing. The second thing I want to say is that I'm really glad for you. And the reason I'm glad for you is you have a really good I get to be with Ryan in a way you don't get to be with him. I mean, I sit in a room nose to nose, and as his mentor and as his friend, my job is to try to keep him healthy, keep him connected to Jesus, keep him loving Stacy, keep him as a good father to his kids, keep him breaking the grip of sin and temptation in his life, keep his heart burning for Jesus so that he is the real thing, so that he feels the wonder of Jesus and the wonder of the gospel, and the wonder of the message that we have to share with people to help him stay green and healthy. And I want you to know, Ryan is the real thing. He is. He loves Jesus. He's a simple man, like basically he's a saved baseball player, right? Just a kind of a normal guy who God reached down and touched his heart. And Ryan and Stacy, this is true of the two of them, early in their life, they saw the wonder of Jesus. They saw he is what life is all about. And more than anything else in the world, they want to help people find him and follow him. That's who he is. And you know him, I know him. I mean, he's doctrinally solid and sound. He's relationally extremely mature. I've walked through it with him through some of the stresses and strains, and he has responded magnificently. He has unusual leadership gifts. His ability to discern and his judgment is extremely good. He's devoted to Jesus, and the longing of his heart is to help you guys grow in your faith and your life and your love for Jesus. And so I just want you to know, I am glad for you, because God has given you a really good man to lead this body. I know the Lord has plans for you as a body, because he's given you this guy. And so I'm very glad for you. Last thing I want to say is I'm very excited about your future. And I want to say something to you. I want to talk to you for a minute just about the most important thing you can do. And I'm talking about each one of you. The most important thing you can do to bring joy to Ryan and to the other leaders and to the other members of this body and to those that you live closest to. I'm talking about your husband, your wife, your kids, and to your own soul for the rest of your life. I want to talk about the most important thing you can do to bring joy and give life to those around you. And it's a simple thing. The most important thing you can do is to make time to spend with Jesus daily, in his word and in prayer, to connect with him. Going back to John, right? That's the book of the morning. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The person who abides in me is transformed. And rather than producing the old fruit of the flesh, which is envy and jealousy and all the things that make life miserable for all the people around us, he brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. He brings forth love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and self-control. And against such there's no law. Nobody objects to those things. Everybody loves that, and everybody loves a person who gives that off. And the way you become a person like that is you abide in the vine. That's what Ted was talking about. If you continue in my word, that means to live in it. It means I learn it, I understand it, and I live into it very intentionally. The most important thing that you can do is to make some space in your life for God to speak his truth and his comfort to you through his words, and to talk to him from the heart. Jesus went on, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. The word and prayer. When I'm talking about connecting with Jesus, I'm not talking about listening to Caleb on the way to work. I'm not talking about playing a few worship songs in the morning. Not talking about reading a devotion or Jesus calling. Those things are all good. I'm talking about making space to read the very words of God that we've been talking about. To let God speak to your heart personally. And then to speak to him from your heart. This is how we grow. This is the taproot of the soul. And honestly, the future of this body doesn't depend on Ryan. Doesn't depend on the deacons. It depends on you staying connected to your Savior day by day, day by day. You know, I came to Christ as a college student. I went to the Air Force Academy out in Colorado Springs, and my first career was in the military as a pilot. The guy who led me to Christ was my roommate, and he drew the bridge illustration. Many of you have seen that. I knew I was on the